church. Good morning, church. How y'all doing today? Okay, so, gotta grab my little... Bless those and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself. On. There we go. Let me know if you hear me. A little bit better? Okay. All righty. So today we're going to look at three things. Number one, Christian love. Number one, towards believers, and 9 through 13, towards believers and unbelievers, and 14 through 16, and towards those who persecute you. Now, this passage is rich, and I'm very grateful to other theologian people and others who looked into insight. Now, we're going to be spending the bulk of our time in verses 9 through 13. In this section right here, it's a bunch of short commands. They're just little pithy little commands. And they're actually, for the English teachers, they're actually participles instead of, but they're called imperatival participles. Meaning this, so what, Dave? Great big word. It's meaning not one and done, but ongoing. That we practice these ongoing. So Christian love, this list of commands starts off with the words, let love be genuine. This is Paul's big idea for what's going to follow in the next five verses. He says, love must be genuine. Another word is completely sincere. Some of your other translations might say, love must be without hypocrisy. It goes in line with what Jesus actually said when he said in John 13, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I've loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all the world will know that you are my disciples. And Paul's basically saying to the guys, listen to me. What we're about to get into, sincere love looks like this. It looks like this. First of all, we reject what is evil. It says, abhor what is evil. He uses this strong word to say, like, whatever is evil, let's reject those things. Now, someone has made this comment. What many people hate is not evil, but the consequences of evil. No man is really a good man when he is simply good because he fears the consequences of bad. You see, God's categories for what is evil and good is often different than man's, which is why we encourage you to get into God's Word, because God's Word says in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I see one of the things as we're going into this upcoming election season, one of the big things that needs to happen is that in some of the radio that you're listening to, you actually need to tune into WORD, okay? And the reality is you already got Facebook. It's called Put Your Face in this book. There's your Facebook, okay? Let Facebook be in this. Cherish God's word and let it speak and give you the wisdom. Okay, so the first thing is we reject evil. We reject evil. Secondly, we love each other like family. Verse 10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Paul actually doubles up on two words. One word we know for a city called Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And there's another word there. But he says, he goes, love one another with brotherly affection. Notice it doesn't say love one according to your political party, your geographical location, your ethnic background, your gender, whether you say tomato or tomato.
whether you eat lutefisk or lefse. William Barton says, this kind of love allows for weaknesses and imperfections, communicates, deals with problems, affirms others, and has a strong commitment to the loyalty of others. Guys, listen, our ultimate identification is because of God's mercies in the gospel to us. And he goes on to say, guys, honor one another. Literally, give priority to one another. You guys see, as Christ followers, what God has done inside of us, we honor people because they're made in the image of God. Hold up your thumb. Did this with this. See, I had the privilege of being up here today. Thank you, Superintendent Krumlick, for inviting me. On Monday, I had the privilege of talking with the staff and teachers. But on Friday, I had an opportunity to spend the day with the teachers and the staff. And you guys, super, super blessed. I've been so looking forward to this. I was so giddy. I'm like tickled pink. Bob Goff, I spoke with him. Doesn't compare to Column. Nope. In September, I'm supposed to speak to the state of Minnesota, to all their various departments. Doesn't compare to coming to Cullum. Nope. This has been like a deep, deep joy and honor. So I had the opportunity to speak with the kids. We've said this. Hold up your thumb. Okay, look at your thumb. Look at your thumb. Not my thumb. Look at your thumb. Okay, you got your thumb, Roy? Mine. Okay. See these ridges on your thumb? They're formed at 3 months inside your mother's womb. That means even if you had an identical twin, we could stick you in Interpol and find you anywhere on the face of the planet. Do you know what that means? That out of the 7.8 billion people on this planet and the many, 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 many more before it, there's only one of you. You are a once-in-eternity creation, and God sent his only son to shed his eternal blood for you. You have infinite and eternal value, as does every person in this church, as does every person in this community. Paul is saying here, guys, listen, we're to outdo one another in showing honor. So instead of being keyboard commandos and cutting people down, no, it's literally one-upping in a healthy and positive sense. Not doing this to say, I'm so cool for showing you honor, but more so, Dale, that I found something else about you for which to honor you further. Oh, man, Mike, I saw that about you. Oh, my goodness, that is such a blessing. Karen, wow, there's the things that you, the way you, your smile, the way that you changed people's days and disposition. I had the privilege of sitting with Karen yesterday at the Cullum Cafe having a burger. Judy made a delicious burger, all right? I had a very good burger, and that was a lot of fun. But I love being with Karen because there's just this thing about Jesus that just oozes from her. She don't even need to say nothing. Jesus goes, and so those are ways that we honor one another. But Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, verse 11, be fervent in spirit. We serve the Lord with passion. It has in mind, instead of being slow and pokey, like kids, another way of putting it is this. Literally to be boiling over in the spirit. You see, being married to a Prussian woman, and I once said this, but I accept full responsibility that I probably would be a little bit thinner if I could control my eating and didn't have such a wonderful cook and my wife and my mom. And I remember one time I said to her, I'm like, Joyce, man, you showed up and you're making these apple things. She's like, are you blaming me for this? No, it's not your fault. It's really good. But one of the things that makes her caramel rolls so good is that she boils potatoes. But if you boil potatoes and you don't watch it, what happens? It boils over. And Paul's like, guys, listen, be boiling over in the spirit. Be boiling over in the spirit. And why? He says, serve the Lord, that we live for an audience of one. He doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. So we exhibit, guys, patient hope, and we're joyful in tribulation because we have a hope for today and a hope for tomorrow. On November 26, 2017, my dear mom, Mary Catherine Miles, went home to be with the Lord. And one of my favorite memories was about a month or so before she went home to be with the Lord, she really went downhill. And we thought we were losing her. And so I flew to Kentucky, and I'm sitting there in a chair one day, and I'm at the foot of the bed, and she wakes up, and she says, "David, I'm fine." And I remember saying, I said, "Oh, you mean like the temperature? Like, is it because the windows were open?" And she laughed in that way that my mom, when my mom laughed, it made you laugh. And she said, "No." And I said, "Oh." I said, "You're fine." I said, "You're fine, fine." And she said, "Yeah, I'm fine, fine." And I said, "Mom, if you're fine, I'm fine. I've sought to honor you and Dad and the Lord all the days of my life, and only want the best for you. And Jesus is the very best, so how could I want anything less?" My mom was letting me know that she was fine with Jesus, that she had a hope. She had a hope in Christ. And I was so grateful because when I spoke at her wedding, which was her wedding, because the marriage supper of the love, actually you can even mess, see the beautiful thing about Jesus, you can mess up as much as I do and still get it right. In the Bible, there is a marriage supper of the Lamb where the church joins with Jesus. But at her homegoing service, I thanked her that I didn't have to get up in the pulpit and lie. And that's a great privilege. One of the things I saw with my mom as she got older, she got better instead of getting bitter. In 2 Corinthians 4 says, "Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all." There are not enough trains that can go through the Edgeley elevator to outweigh what God has done in our life. And we can literally say that our adversity is a fertilizer to God's future harvest in your life. Listen, all the things that we get by going through, sometimes we want to arrive, but all the things that we go through are literally like fertilizer. Listen to me. All the hell you've gone through is producing a hope in heaven that hell can't touch. And when our flesh becomes its weakest in our last breath, God shows up with his eternal hope in Jesus Christ. Amen? So the mark of Christian is genuine love that hates evil, clings to good, loves others and God family, passionately serves the Lord and others. And one of the last marks on this is that we share with the saints and pursue hospitality. This was a trait of the early church. Paul would later go on to say and make the point that we needed to exhibit Christ. Practice hospitality. That word, love the stranger. It comes from the root xenos. And Tammy and I used to live in Xenia, Ohio, which was the city of hospitality. Now, on Thursday, I was in Minneapolis, and I worked with a Christian group called Arrive Ministries. They do refugee and immigrant resettlement for the church. And, you know, one of the things that the Bible will tell us is let brotherly love be genuine in Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect to show hospitalities to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels without being aware. We have to understand there were no Holiday Inns, no Hiltons, no country suites. And remember back then, even Jesus couldn't find a place to be born at. And so there's this. I went through there. There's your Facebook. Isn't he cute? Okay. All right, here we go. Can you hit play? Do I hit play or do you hit play? Okay, hit play. Because there needed to be hospitality. Because someone had to make a giant step. Maybe it looked like this. First German chocolate crossing the tracks to be on the sweet side. Y'all remember that? There was a play, 100 Year Centennial. Next. Next slide. Hit the middle one, please. Hopefully that does it. All right. So maybe the person prayed the first time. Maybe they paused and thought to themselves, "Do I really do this?" Okay? All right, now I'll go to the next slide. You can go past the last one and we'll go to the next slide. Well, go ahead. Nope, actually skip this one. Please. Thank you. And hopefully we can move because it's all set up. And however we can forward on to the next one, that would be great. All righty. Okay, so we're going to show hospitality towards the saints. All right. So, but here's the reality is, someone had to make a step across the tracks, but there also had to be someone on the other side who received that person with hospitality. And one of the things that I love that my wife used to talk about, and she would share, was that, you know, you had wonderful saints of the church like Carolyn and Esther Lindgren. How on a Sunday, my daughter grew up, my wife grew up, and she's like, you know, it's amazing. You go to church, and we always be over there after church, and still get home in the afternoon, and there'd still be a bunch of day left. But it was so rich and so fulfilling. And so that's that thing of practicing hospitality. Okay. I don't know if that's going to go. But if you can forward that, we'll keep going. All right, so Christian love towards believers and unbelievers. Verse 15 says this, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Paul puts rejoice first, as it's often harder for people to celebrate with people's success than with their losses. But he doesn't stop there. Paul goes on to say, guys, we're also supposed to weep with those who weep. The truth of the matter is this. This is why I love conversations with people. Brené Brown said this. If you spend enough time with people, you'll hear a story that brings you to tears, brings you to your knees, inspires you, and sometimes all three. If you spend time with people, you will hear some of the most amazing stories. And this leads, and I think we'll be able to get there, to one of my favorite quotes by a guy named Douglas Steer. To listen to another soul may be almost the greatest service that any human being ever performs for another person. To listen. What's that psalmist say? I love the Lord, he heard my cry. Listened. Pitied my every groan. How beautiful. But he doesn't stop there. He says, live in harmony. This summarizes the overall thrust of Paul's command. He's saying, don't be haughty. Here's how haughty is defined. Don't be unfriendly and seemingly to consider yourself better than others. Webster says, blatantly and disdainfully proud, having or showing an attitude of superiority and contempt for people or things perceived to be inferior. He says we're to do that. We're to avoid all pride and snobbiness. How many of you guys like the show Undercover Boss? Anyone ever watch that? So it's a show where the boss goes in and he goes undercover to pretend like he's just an employee. And no one's just an employee. Everyone is valuable. And here's the thing. You can tell a lot about a person by how they treat people who can't do anything for them. You can tell a lot. One of my heroes from Friday was this boy named Jaden. I don't remember Jaden's last name. But he was one of the first people that commented, stood up, shared thoughts on things of how to transform the culture of the school and make it from good, because we have a great school here and great team, and go even better. And one of the things he was sharing was, as he was stuttering, is that I stutter. And so I asked him, I'm like, Jaden, what would it look like for, what would be helpful in that? He's like, people listening, me working on this, me encouraging. But dude, seriously. And I told the school, I told the class, I said, right there, I would take 20 of Jaden's. Stuttering all, absolutely. And so one of those things, outdoing honor, loving people. So let's talk real brief here. I want to say, Brené Brown said this, in order to empathize with someone's experience, you must be willing to believe them as they see it and not how you imagine their experience to be. Who don't you believe? And to put it in a way that we understand, When will we resist calling other people's pain fake news? You think that you know. But this is another statement I give my students. I teach at the University of Northwestern. Look for the truth in what you oppose and the error in what you espouse. Guys, listen, if you would just snapshot this and practice this during the election season, as well as share Jesus more than you talk about politics, revival will happen. And it'll save you a lot of stress. If you will look for the truth in what you oppose, the error in what you espouse. So critical. So I have a question for you. What do you see? This is a phrase. How many F's are in this phrase? Feature films are the result of years of scientific studies combined with the experience of years. How many F's, not the top one, but how many F's are in that phrase? How many did you see, Mike? Two? Got two, going two, do, 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 I see two, I see two, two, got two, anybody got three. Four, two, two, five, you got five, I'm not a very good auctioneer. Six! Joseph, where's six? Yeah. And what's interesting is sometimes we miss the little things. And my wife will tell me, details matter. Details matter. What do you see here? See a car? What do you see now? Tree. What do you see? What do you see now? A reminder during this election season, context determines perception. They did a study one time, which square is darker? Square A or square B? Which square is darker? They're the same. They're the exact same. Can you hit play on this? Oops. Can you and turn up the sound? Oops. So what it's saying is from one view, something can seem a certain way, but looked at it from another angle,
it gives quite a different impression. But it's only when you get the whole picture you can fully understand what's going on.
So let me ask you again, how would you describe your observation skills? Hit play, please. Oops. Besides not watching the steps. Oop, back up.
3:34 this afternoon.
Oop, I'm sorry. I meant to turn the sound up. There we go. I think we can hear now.
Clearly, somebody in this room murdered Lord Smythe, who, at precisely 3:34 this afternoon, was brutally bludgeoned to death with a blunt instrument. I want each of you to tell me your whereabouts at precisely the time that this dastardly deed took place.
I was polishing the brass in the master bedroom.
I was buttering his lordship's scones below stairs, sir.
Why, I was planting my petunias in the potting shed.
Constable, arrest Lady Smythe.
But how did you know?
Madam, as any horticulturist will tell you, one does not plant petunias until May is out. Take her away.
That's right, madam.
It's just a matter of observation. The real question is, how observant were you?
Action.
Clearly, somebody in this room murdered Lord Smythe, who, at precisely 3:34 this afternoon, was brutally bludgeoned to death with a blunt instrument. I want each of you to tell me your whereabouts at precisely the time that this dastardly deed took place.
I was polishing the brass in the master bedroom.
I was buttering his lordship's scones below stairs, sir.
I was planting my petunias in the potting shed.
Constable, arrest Lady Smythe.
So how many did you guys get the first time around? How many changes did you see? Yeah, like none. So on a busy road, this can be fatal. Please watch for cyclists. All right. So go ahead to the next slide, please. Our next slide, not this slide, but move one over. Resume. Nope, go to the... It will not let me forward. Okay, observation is limited and subjective. Real quick, Samuel says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We need to be mindful that our observation is limited. It's also subjective. Jesus is with the people. They come upon a blind man, and as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Had to be a reason. Who did what was wrong? Neither, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God may be displayed. So I'm going to go past that. Alrighty. I do know if you need to step, I'll tie up here shortly because I know, like, y'all want to go eat some food. I did one time preach years ago and say that if you put a roast in the oven, you shouldn't have did that because we need to get to God's word and stuff like that. But I am appreciative to the Cullen Fire Department who would be there to help you in that need. All right, Christian love towards those who persecute us. Verse 17 says this, repay no one for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable. There's that word again, inside of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceable with one another. Since love returns to the issue of how we react to how people persecute us. This is saying to Jesus, do not repay evil for evil. Martin Luther King said this, if we do an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, we'll all be blind and toothless. So we need to do what is honorable, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Okay? In the sight of all. He does say if it's possible, and this depends upon you. Yesterday I found out that my Aunt Celia was found dead last week. And when they had found her, her body had begun decomposing. That'd be my aunt. A couple weeks ago, my Uncle Pete died. And 2 years ago, July 30th, my oldest and only brother, he passed away, unexpectedly of a heart attack. And so for my family of five, immediate family, I'm the only one who's left. I still have a family. Thank you, Leroy Joyce. These guys have traveled everywhere that we've moved to. Wow. I love you guys. But 2 years ago, my brother passed away unexpectedly. I pursued my brother for 35 years. One, to pray for him to come to Christ, but also to say, dude, hey, what's going on? Is there something with our relationship? He'd be like, no, we're just brothers. I'm like, seriously, if you hate me, that's fine. Just tell me that. If you absolutely hate my God, if you think I'm the biggest jerk in the world, tell me that too. No, no, we're all good. Besides, like, brother things. Well, what's the brother things? Well, just brother things. So 2 years ago, I get to Grand Forks to the parking lot of the funeral home, and his ex-wife walks up and says, hey, David, your brother's one last wish was that you not be at any of his services. Now, I found out about his death from a family friend from another family friend. I wasn't in the obit. I wasn't asked to be, you know, a part of the service. And the Lord prepared my heart for this. I actually ended up doing it, walking through a coaching thing on a heart freedom exercise that gave me a peace that even when I talk about it now, the anointing of God comes back. Literally for 9 to 10 months, if I could have packaged the drug of a clear conscience with God and man, I'd be a trillionaire. And what God did in my life, and it was both. It wasn't just, okay, guys, remember, Matthew 18 talks about if a brother sins, you go to them. But there's also Matthew 5, that if you're giving your gift and you recall that your brother has something against you, you go to them. Jesus makes it hard, don't he? Which is why today you can't live this in yourself. You need Jesus Christ. If you do not know Jesus Christ personally, you need to know him and the power of the Holy Spirit to do in you what you cannot do in yourself. And even with Jesus, raise the hand, it's still hard, ain't it? Okay? And yes, it says, if it possible, as it depends upon you. And sometimes we try, you know? We do, and sometimes we're at peace. And sometimes there's things, and so yesterday was talking with a dear person to me, and we were chatting a little bit about this. And when we were talking about it a little bit, I just shared my concern because, guys, I love you. Listen, I love you too much to play games with you, okay? I like me. I don't need you liking me. Liking me is extra for you guys. Jesus likes me. My wife likes me most of the time. No, I'm just kidding. My kids like me. They think I'm weird. But here's the deal. And so I'm going to say it to the older saints. Ask for apologies in advance. As I was talking with this person, we were talking, and I just called bullshit. And you know what's really funny about this? Here's the thing. Most of you are more offended at my temporary words than your long-standing broken relationships. This is a Book of Philemon moment, and I'm your Apostle Paul here to say, if something God's speaking to you and you need to get it right, because listen, my family is gone. If I wanted to have a conversation again with my brother, can't do it. I'd love to have a conversation with my mom, and we had a great relationship. Can't do it till heaven. So I call BS on some of this stuff. Please don't put that in the 150th thing. Pastor comes. It's kind of like the person said, millions of people are going to hell and no one gives a damn. And they were more concerned that I said damn in the pulpit than that millions of people are going to hell. Remember our perception management. We think we might be seen in a certain way, but from another person, only God has got the full perspective on things. And I'd be amiss to let you go have a loaf, a meatloaf, or a chicken breast and still have this brokenness and not address these issues with Jesus. Fill your body, but starve your soul, your mind, your heart, and spirit. I'm not doing that. I'm not. But leave revenge for God. Verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you heap burning coals on his head. You know, it's really, Proverbs 19:11 says this, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. We are never more like God, and we are never more glorious than when we forgive. But let's be honest, guys. Anybody with me? Forgiving is not easy. Right? Some of us wear the button that was in the tourist shop that says to err is human, to forgive is out of the question. Extending grace does not come naturally. We want justice. We want people to get what they deserve, don't we? And Sir Walter Scott said that revenge is the sweetest morsel to the mouth that was ever cooked in hell. But go back to, remember we started off with Romans 12:1. Back to Paul's command, by the mercies of God. I will never, and I say this, I will never have to forgive a perfect and I will never have to forgive a fallen and imperfect Tammy more than a perfect and holy God has forgiven me in the last 30 seconds. Because I swore. But even if I wouldn't swear, all the things internally. So his grace is so amazing towards us. Vengeance does not belong to us, it belongs to God. We're going to land this plane. We're to treat a man and woman with kindness rather than vengeance as a way to move them from being an enemy to being a friend. Because God did this with us. Ephesians 2, while you were enemies of God, but God, rich in grace, forgave us, even in our trespasses. Read Ephesians 2, 4. God doesn't play. He's not like, I'm going to sweep this under the carpet. No, he's like, I forgave you, even in your trespasses. So the summaries of a true mark of a Christian is to overcome evil with good. Jesus is bookending his message. So here's the application. What needs to change in your life for you to readily demonstrate Christ-like love to other believers? What situation in your life do you need to begin to look at from God's perspective? How should your prayers for that situation change as a result? Okay, the first one's dealing with the household of God. The other part's just dealing with people, as we looked at that. And the third, what loving... I think I did that wrong. Loving can you offer to a person who is antagonistic to you because of your faith? How do you love people who are difficult? How do you love you when you look in the mirror and you're difficult? I would tell people all the time, like, listen, I know I drive you crazy. Why? Because I live with me and I drive me crazy. So there's not a chance that you're getting away with it. And what are some ways that you can communicate your love for Christ and others to non-believers in a tactful way? I appeal to you, Cullum Baptist Church, therefore, because of God's mercy. I deserve punishment. I got pardon. I deserve judgment. I got Jesus. I deserved eternal condemnation. I got eternal salvation. I deserved hell, and I got heaven. And in Christ, we have a sincere love that is full of hope, joy, and peace. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful body of believers and every wonderful person gathered here today. I thank you for the three little kids that I met earlier. I thank you for the older kids, Maxie, and Mason and Hattie, that I had the privilege of meeting. Lord, bless them, Lord, and show them how real you are, Jesus. And God, would you continue to raise up Cullum Baptist Church? Raise it up and use it mightily. Today we stand here being used because Dr. Grins in the 1960s prayed and wanted to provide for this church to move up by Flood Lake and to be transferred down here to this piece of land. And he and another gentleman put a bid of $3,800. He put up $2,000 of his own money and said, even if it falls through, I'll take it. Just felt the Lord saying here. And they came. And so you've placed this church here, and you used a person. So I pray that you use each individual in this church to be powerful in the lives of their neighbors, their families, this community, to the glory of your great name, we pray. And the church said, amen. Thank you, dear friends. Oh, I forgot one other thing. If after the service, God's tugging on your heart and you want to talk about anything or anybody that's on, I'm going to be here. Okay? I will pray with you, spend time with you. If it's with a family member, and you need to talk, let's talk, let's pray. Okay? I can't do it. That's right, you can't do it. But by God's grace, in his strength, for his glory, he can do it in and through us. So please, don't let the moment go. Don't just move on to the next thing if God's speaking to your heart today. I'm going to stay here, okay? I'll be here, all right? And you guys know where Leroy and Joyce live. And I'm happy to drive home very late tonight. Absolutely. I love this. I love being with the body of Christ. You guys, this is such a privilege. For some of you who don't know, my testimony is I failed my suicide attempt as a sophomore in high school. My locker mate took 10 seconds and invited me to a student event. That's the only reason why I'm standing in front of you today. So I live on borrowed breaths. And living on borrowed breaths, I want your life to matter for Jesus, okay? And hey, don't worry if you got issues. Pastor David, I might have issues. What's the Bible say? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I have a definition of all. All means all. That's all that all means. What if someone thinks I got issues? Guess what? They got issues. I got issues. Okay? So please don't let this moment pass. I'm going to stay, all right? Pastor, thank you so much, sir.
Amen. Pastor Dave, thank you so much. I greatly enjoyed that. And thank you for listening to God and giving me that call that one night out of the blue, even though at first I didn't realize who it was. Thank you so much for coming here and sharing the word of God with us. I know it impacted me, so thank you so much. Let's go ahead and pray. And then, as Pastor Dave said, he's going to still be up here, and he said he doesn't mind leaving late. So if there's anything tugging on your heart, you know, please see him, see me, see anyone in here that knows the Lord. So just be with let's go ahead and pray. Father, just thank you so much for today. And God, just thank you so much for this servant's heart, Father. It was here, he came here, he blessed us this morning, Father, with the words that you gave him. So, Father, I just pray this morning, God, that we don't just take this for granted, Father, but we actually apply this to our lives. And, God, that change happens. Because as we see, it says in the book of Romans that he was talking about, that there's a transforming of the mind that happens.
Yes.
And a transformation of the heart.
Yeah.
So, Father, that's my prayer. So, Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for everybody that's here this morning. We love you, God. We praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.
You are dismissed. You want to go what?